The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked and the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
So if you are listening very carefully this evening to the gospel, you might have rightly asked the question, how come we're celebrating the Feast of Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection, and we're using the same reading from the gospel as we used on Easter Sunday morning? And how does that fit in with celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit? Because in the gospel this evening, which Jay has just read, you heard on the first day of the week, on the day of the resurrection, Christ breathed on them and said, "Receive the Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit." So when you read the gospel, or any part of the gospel, you got to do a little change in your mind and realize that it was written 2,000 years ago, and if it was being written today, it would be different in many ways, because 2,000 years ago, the people who wrote the gospel, the evangelists, were writing it for the people of their time, conscious of the culture of their time. And so arises the word 50, which is the Greek word, comes from the Greek. It means Pentecost, means 50. And in the Jewish religion, Pentecost, or the feast, was the feast of the gathering in, thanksgiving for the gathering in of the harvest 50 days after the Passover. It was also in memory of the when the Israelites were exiled in the desert, and 50 days after being in the desert, the Lord appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai, and it was also in commemoration of that particular day. It was also a feast of thanksgiving, and so what. Our faith began with the Jews. It originated in Israel, and we borrowed a lot from the time, from the feast days of those times, and so we very neatly fit in 50 days after the resurrection. Now we'll celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. But Christ breathed on them on Easter Sunday and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So that maybe it's good to have a little bit of that in your mind and a little bit of background, because, you know, and the Spirit is part of the Blessed Trinity, and so we end up there in a mystery. And that reminds me of the teacher in school was doing a little art class with the children, and she was going around looking at what they were drawing, and they were drawing, you know, pictures of various things. And she came to one little girl and she said, "What are you drawing?" And she said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said to her, "But nobody knows what God looks like." And she just looked up at the teacher and said, "They will when I'm finished." Well, hopefully you'll have a better understanding of the Trinity when I'm finished. So let's look at that for a moment. Because the Holy Spirit is very much part of the Holy Trinity, which we'll be celebrating next week. I'm not going on to that feast now, but I think if you're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, you got to mention him as part, as God, and part of the Holy Trinity, and then we'll come back to dealing with the Spirit. So, most of us, and I grew up with a very false idea of God, sort of a pharaoh up there in the sky, or a man with a long beard, and he was very much on his own. But if God was on his own, he couldn't really love. And so God is in relationship. God is a family. And so therefore, rather than beginning with God and then trying to make him into three persons, it's much better to begin with the three and then end up with the one. And so we have this beautiful image, and I'm going to try and paint the image for you, which I think I've done with some of you before, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are love, and they are in relationship. And the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit back loves the Father. And somebody described it as a beautiful water wheel of love, a continual flow of love. That's what God is. If you look upon God as relationship, and a flow, a continual flow of love. And since the Spirit dwells in us, we are in the middle of that flow, which is a lovely way of looking at it, that we are in some ways, we are the fourth person in the Trinity, each one of you, because of the Spirit dwelling within us. So, what really is the Spirit? How do we define? Can we get some kind of idea of what the Spirit is like? And we're told Jesus breathed on the apostles, received the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're born, what's the first thing you do? You breathe. Now, here's the interesting bit. The ancient Hebrew name for God was unpronounceable, a name that was unpronounceable. The Hebrews regarded God as so beyond them that his name was unpronounceable, and the Hebrew name for God was YHWH, which is unpronounceable. But then we, to pronounce it, we put in two vowels, an A and an E, and we got Yahweh. Now, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath and listen to yourself. Take a deep breath and listen to yourself. What sound are you making? As you inhale, what's the sound? Yeah. And as you exhale, can you hear it? Yeah. So the sound is Yah Fay. So the very first thing you do when you're born is you pronounce the name of God. the very first thing you do when you enter into this world. What's the last thing you do as you die? You take your last breath. And if you've ever been, and I'm sure some of you have, and I'm often in the presence of a person dying, and as they come closer to dying, you're looking very carefully at their chest and to see if you can, and people will suddenly say, "He stopped breathing." Well, you know, even the person dying is, and so the last thing you do on the point of death, again, you pronounce the name of God. So whether you believe in God or not, every time you breathe, it's the spirit within you. It's the spirit within you. And that's the core of your being. That really is your soul. The Holy Spirit living within you. And the Holy Spirit is pure, unadulterated love. So if you kind of hope you're following me. Pure, unadulterated love. So each one of you are pure love. Your pure love, your core being, your soul. Your soul, you're made in the image of God. You are love. You don't just have love. The core of your being is pure love. It's a beautiful thought if you think about it. You are pure love. And what keeps you going is love. And how do you honor the Holy Spirit? How do you honor? By loving relationship. Whenever you hate or stop loving, you're actually dead. Dead. So every time you breathe, it's pure love. So I don't, thankfully, need any sleeping pills when I go to bed to sleep, because I've got a very clear conscience, hopefully. I need a pill to wake up in the morning sometimes, but not to sleep. But I find, for me personally, very good way of going to sleep is I often practice it. I kind of settle down, get comfortable in bed, and then I begin listening to my breath. And sometimes then I change that and it works to Jesus. 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 And in no time, I'm asleep. In no time, I'm asleep. So God is living within you. Love is living within you. The more you become aware of that, the more loving you will be. And that's really what the Spirit does and what the Spirit wants. That, you know, that lovely little threesome prayer I gave you before, and I'll repeat it for you two times. God, for us, we call you Father. God beside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. So we'll repeat that. God for us, we call you Father. God beside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Spirit. Amen. Now let's stand and pray our creed.